Chapter 53. End of the Beginning. She woke up cradled in warm arms. Her forehead was pressed under his chin. Their legs were tangled together. It felt right. She opened her eyes. She could see each and every pore on Jin's chest, the slight traces of salt from dried sweat. When she took a breath, she smelled everything. Their own activities, Bidi, Chongqi, who was nearly invisible to her nose before, Sholan, the Song Brothers, seven fragrances from the spiritual herbs. From them came the scent of fire and cinder, nearly overwhelming, and the smell of the earth, and the warmth in her stomach. She'd had her suspicions that something like this would happen to her, too. She hadn't broken anything like the Song Brothers, but there was something there, just under her skin. Some might think Jin had done it on purpose, that he might have some nefarious deed planned. She didn't believe that at all. What kind of nefarious deed could he possibly have planned for her? She could feel it, the chi like a placid lake inside her. The Song Brothers had complained about having to meditate for hours, but when she called for the energy, it answered. The minor aches and pains faded away as chi filled her limbs with power and vitality. But it was not all her own energy. It smelled of fresh soil, of light, warmth, and life. It wrapped around her, and it held her as if it was hugging. An eager friend, ready to help. She sighed fondly and let it go. Like water, the power slipped through her fingers and returned to the earth. She looked up from where she was laying at her husband's face, the thick eyebrows, the light dusting of freckles on his cheeks, and the absolute peace on his face. Jin woke. He came out of his slumber with a contented smile, and then he opened his eyes and beheld her. "Good morning, beautiful," he whispered. His eyes were warm and soft. One of his fingers brushed the hair from her face, his palm just so slightly rough against her cheek. She placed her own hand over his, and their foreheads pressed together. She could certainly get used to waking up like this. I was in an excellent mood as I made breakfast. We had decided against any kind of morning exercise and had instead just gone down to face the music. I have to admit, it was kind of damn embarrassing to have people cheer on the fact that you'd bonked your wife, but I was on cloud nine and Maymay had barely blushed. And yeah, everybody was still here. It would last 2 more days. 2 more days of booze and partying. At least we got to have breakfast inside the house instead of out in the pavilion like everybody else for at least some privacy. But there was always somebody looking for us, and right now that somebody was Sholan. She had wanted to talk with us about something. At least she got straight to the point. "You want to stay here for a while?" I asked Sholan as I put the plate of pancakes on the table. She was pressing her head to the floor of the house in full kowtow mode. Sholan's pretty dramatic, isn't she?
"Yes, Master Jin. This one would beg your hospitality and your guidance if it pleases you. This Sholan will help with any task you need her to."
"What do you need guidance on?" I asked her.
"How you have crafted your domain, if it is not too presumptuous of me."
"Huh, another cultivator who wanted to learn how to farm? I thought I was the only one." I glanced at Mei Ling, and she was looking at Sholan shrewdly. She met my eyes, and after a moment's hesitation, nodded. "Sure, you can stay for a while, and I'll teach you some of what I know." The cultivator girl looked up, stars in her eyes. "Now eat up, I made enough for 3, I said. Breakfast was as delicious as always. I remained serene, even through the sounds of Sholan. And so began the first day of my marriage. We didn't actually spend that much time together. As soon as we walked outside, Maymay was grabbed by Hu Li and Mei Hua, then dragged away to discuss how the night went. Sholan somehow got dragged into it too. I had a few things to do. The 10 poison resistance herb, and that's a mouthful, had to be repotted. I didn't know exactly how to take care of this one, but it was a gift, so I would try my hardest. The trees needed to be planted as well. They were looking a little beat up, and Sholan hadn't taken the best care of them. I was just considering calling her over and telling her what she did wrong when the magistrate approached. He looked a bit peaky, like he hadn't slept too well.
"Zhou Jin,
This one must apologize, but matters of the bureaucracy call. I would beg leave from the festivities. I nodded, standing from where I was planting the sapling, and bowed to him. I wish you good health and good fortune, Lord Magistrate, and thank you for everything you've done. If you ever need a hand, I can make myself available. He seemed a bit surprised by what I had said. His face shifted through emotions quickly before he settled on a small smile. I will keep that in mind. Enjoy your wedding, Zhoujian. May it bear much fruit. And with that, the Lord Magistrate left, deep in contemplation. I returned to my task. It didn't take too long to finish with the trees, but I was a little hot when I finished.
Jin!
Yun Zhen called, gesturing me over. The rest of the men stood there, eager. There were cups of wine. There were many, many cups of wine.
Chuck! 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 How many bottles is that fish on? Oh, the old spry whore,
Xian and Mei Ling sang while the crowd howled with laughter.
Hey, can we talk about this? It was a good image. An exhibition match is perfectly acceptable, disciple Yun Zhen. You have the first blow.
Yun Zhen wasn't an idiot. He turned tail and fled. Xiaolan, her cheeks flushed from alcohol, shouted with outrage and went after him. Yun Zhen was surprisingly good at dodging. I threw him to the wolf when he tried to use me as a shield, though. Big D danced, kicking along the fence. He was really quite handsome, and that was a word I never thought would apply to a chicken. His moves looked a lot like Xian's fire dance, if I was being honest. I laughed at the red-faced woman holding a bottle of wine. She had a predatory gleam in her eye.
Shirt off, now,
Mei Ling demanded, licking her lips. I obliged her. This time was a lot more fun. Both Yun and Go pressed against my arm with all their might, and then Che added his strength and that of all three cows and the horses. Then Chunky, Peppa, and Tigger grabbed a hold of ropes tied around my wrist. I didn't budge. It was great fun throwing them all into the mud. The children cheered as they jumped into the ice-cold stream. Washi grabbed a rope in his mouth and took off like a jet ski, dragging the shrieking kids behind him. I made sure they didn't stay in for too long, though, and the bath warmed them back up nicely. This was what I'd been wanting. The laughter, the company, the joy, and even the sorrows. The rest of the celebrations passed in a bit of a drunken haze. A 3-day party sounds fun until you have a 3-day party. Everybody was absolutely shattered at the end of it, and my back was a little bit sore. Slowly but surely, my house emptied. The villagers said their goodbyes. Yun Zhen clapped my shoulder. Mei Hua kissed Mei Ling on the forehead and told her to come visit when the child was born. Eventually, even the last of our family had to go. Mei Ling's little brother had wept bitter tears when he learned his sister wasn't coming home with him and had clung to Mei Mei's skirts. He was gently pried off by his father. Goodbye, my daughter. Xian looked like he was about to bow, yet instead leaned in and hugged Mei Mei tightly. His teeth clenched and his eyes were watery. He let her go, then turned to me. Goodbye, I asked. It's see you later, Pops. We'll be around often enough that you'll get sick of us. Xian barked out a laugh and held out his arms for me, too. I hugged him tight enough to hurt a bit, and he pounded my back. I'll be seeing you soon then, children, he declared, picking up little Xian. I wish you good health and good fortune. The last of our guests left. I breathed a sigh of relief and turned back from the gate to walk up the hill where I'd built my trusty little shack. I stared out over my home with Big D on my shoulder. In my mind's eye, I saw the land as it had been, the massive rocks, the scraggy brush, and the overgrown forest littered with dead wood. How I had arrived, full of uncertainty, having made an impulsive decision with only Big D and a few chickens as companions. I'd shown up in early spring and spent nearly 6 months in isolation, the time forcing myself to think about anything other than my circumstances. Yet now, Mei Ling walked up and leaned into my side. Chunky and Peppa trotted beside us and sat, rubbing each other with their noses and oinking happily. Digger brushed against my leg, and Rizzo scampered up Mei Ling's shoulder. Gojen knelt down beside the pigs and scratched Chunky affectionately. Sholan approached, staring oddly at the shovel in her hands and switching her grip on it like it was a staff. We all stared out over my farm, at the freshly planted trees, the new house, and the markers for where the fields were supposed to go. It wasn't heaven quite yet, but I would be damned if I didn't give it my best go. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath. Something stirred beneath my feet, perking up. It felt friendly and eager, warm and pure. I supposed even the land was excited for the spring. I metaphorically patted it on the head. We stayed there for a while, drinking in the moment. A warm wind blew through rustling grass and flowers, and it shook the still naked boughs of the trees. In the distance, Washi breached the river, leaping so high he cleared my roof before splashing back down. Big D opened his mouth and issued forth a joyous cry. "You tell him, Big D,"